Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop De Quinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work at the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates consecrated to redemptive love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. I'm your guest moderator today, Lisa Lindsay, and I have a number of guests with me today that I'll allow to introduce themselves. We'll start with you, Sharon.
Hi, I'm Sharon Doran. I'm from St. Margaret Mary's Parish, and my husband, Steve, and I have five sons, ages 21 to 10.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for joining us today. And then we have Tammy Hauser.
Hello, I'm Tammy Hauser, and I'm a parishioner at St. Margaret Mary's as well. My husband, Tracy, and I have seven children. Our youngest is 2, and our oldest is 24.
And you'll remember we've had Tammy on before, and we talked about her son, John Paul. And I'm sure she'll have some more information on him as well for those of you who are, I'm sure we'll like to have an update. And also Martha Crane, a good friend of Tammy's as well. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Martha Crane, and I also am a member of St. Margaret Mary Parish. And my husband, John, and I have seven children. Our children range in age from 18 to 7.
Beautiful. So we have a lot of wonderful moms here who are trying to their best to live out lives of holiness, and none of us are saints yet, are we, ladies,
or
any of you? We're on the road.
Lisa, after two snow days, we've been snowed in. I think if you asked our children, are you saints? I think we would have the wrong show, possibly. We're trying.
Well, when I spoke to Tammy, I had such a hard time getting back to her about even doing the show because of the interruptions that we face in our lives when the children are home with us on snow days, and how, boy, does that change our plans.
Yeah.
Changes things quite a bit. So anyway, we're going to talk about today ways in which we can bring the church home, ways that we can live out our lives of holiness and have domestic churches within our homes, and how you and each other, even when we were talking before the show, we were saying things to each other, that's a good idea. So as a member of Pro-Sanctity, we want to teach people how to live out lives of holiness and to encourage one another in holiness. And so I'd like to begin by talking about the saints and what special roles in your family life they may play and what you find most intriguing about those saints. Does anyone have a saint that really makes a difference in their life?
Well, I have a couple come to mind. You know, most pressing is he's a saint, you know, I believe in the making, is Pope John Paul II.
Oh, sure.
Our former Holy Father. And we have a big devotion because we named our 2-year-old baby that was born with a condition that's considered incompatible with life. So he's really medically termed terminally ill. And we named him after the late Pope. And then after he was born and he lived, we found out about the beatification canonization prayer, and we started praying that as a family every day, and then also made up prayer cards and spread them around through churches. And because of that, a lot of other people are praying that beatification canonization prayer to hasten his sainthood, and then also for the healing of our baby, because He has to give three miracles as process part of the process of his canonization. So he's just become dear to our hearts.
So your family has a special devotion to Pope John Paul. I know in our family, we have a special love for Saint Joseph for many reasons. My husband's middle name is Joseph, and it turns out there was a time in my life when I was trying to sell my house, and I was very angry at Saint Joseph because we're all supposed to take Saint Joseph's statue and put him, you know, in the ground, and he wasn't working out for me, and I was very angry at him. And then he answered the particular prayer of selling my house in so many larger ways that it turned out he was working on my behalf, even though I was angry at him at the time. And then recently I looked on my baptism certificate, and I've had when I was baptized, all the dates were handwritten. So I'd always thought my baptism was March 17th. And I found my parents gave me the actual certificate, and my baptism is March 19th. I was baptized on the Feast of St. Joseph. So it was, it became something that our family really talks about. And we have a devotion to St. Joseph because of that, and the Holy Family, and how he is a guardian, a guard over the family.
Good saint.
My children, too, they enjoy, when we talk about saints and how I get my children interested in saints, they tend to like the saints that have big stuff, like stigmata. You know, if you have like a son who, sons tend to really like the whole idea of the stigmata, the St. Francis with the stigmata, and
Padre Pio
is probably the biggest one with the stigmata. He's another saint that's important in our life. If you look on your children's birthdays, you can find out which saints. My husband and I did this. We find out what saint days my children's birthdays are on, and then you can use those for your children to look up information about them and find out more, and in that way you can garner some of their interest.
I think Saint Michael too is another one.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Just because he is the, you know, in charge of, you know, protecting us from evil. And I just on Christmas gave all my children a Saint Michael medal, and the boys especially like him, because we were talking about superheroes and they were saying who was our favorite, and then we talked about, well, Saint Michael, the best thing about him is he's like real, so
yes.
And he is this great, you know, angel, and then he has a shield and the sword.
Yes.
So, you know, I think boys especially can identify with him and think he's, you know, a cool
absolutely and
saint.
Also another thing that we do in our home is we have statues of saints around our home that the children can ask questions about, and I've got Therese, and she has the flowers, and my girls are really drawn to her, and then I have some photographs of her as a little girl, and that makes them want to know more about Therese. So those are some ways that we can make saints a part of our daily lives. Besides us as adults, we do a lot of reading and that sort of thing, learning about the saints. We can draw our children's interest to it as well in these ways.
I find the boys love the martyrs. Any martyr, Saint Sebastian, all the arrows, any of the apostles that were martyred, Nathaniel especially, being flayed, skinned alive, and all the artwork. You can just Google image, you know, some of these saints. Nine of the 12 apostles were martyred. So very exciting stories of how these saints gave up their lives for Christ.
Oh, sure.
And Saint Michael too, Tammy, I would agree, defend us in battle, protect us from the wickedness and snares of the devil. Well, we pray the St. Michael prayer a lot, and just for their protection in this culture of death, just that he is an angel of light and protection against the evil. I also personally love Mary, of course, an intercessor, knowing our needs before we even ask, like at Cana, where she just intuitively knows the needs of our family before we even as a mom might still be in the dark and not know what a kid's struggling with or going through. And there's Mary to help us and intercede on our behalf before we even know. And then St. Monica, as a mother of boys, for me, just on my knees saying, St. Monica, please, especially as they get older and start exerting their free will more and more and more. And just saying, you know, Monica was the mother of Augustine.
Absolutely,
and, you
yes.
know, the wonderful conversion he had coming from the brink of a very hard time. Oh. And so just that there's always hope. And I find that the saints kind of rotate, just reading about them on their feast days every day in the Magnificat. You know, you'll read about the saint, and then you can, things you're going through in life, you say, oh, wasn't that the saint of, or wasn't that, oh, isn't,
right?
And I love that because they're, you know, this cloud of witnesses that has gone on before us and intercedes for us in the throne room, and just how powerful that intercessory prayer is to these wonderful saints.
Well, yeah, I think that's so beautiful. You just take, you know, that every day, just like those little tiny opportunities that just present themselves, and then you just say, oh, wait, pause and talk about this and incorporate that into, mm-hmm. like, today. We were talking about St. Margaret Mary just recently, and because she is the patron saint of our parish, and she gave the image of the Sacred Heart, you know, Jesus gave that through St. Margaret Mary. And so a couple years ago, Martha prompted me actually to get a picture of the Sacred Heart and display it in her home. And there's all these blessings that just come just from having this image of the Sacred Heart in your home. So a lot of times, like my daughter just had her exams, high school placement exams on Saturday, and she was nervous about it. And I said, well, let's just pray to St. Margaret Mary, and we'll ask, you know, for the intercession, and we'll just ask the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we'll just pray that you just do as well as you can possibly do, and God knows better than us where you should go to high school, and then we'll just leave it. You'll go in and you'll just take it, and we'll leave it. And it was just a tiny little opportunity that just presented itself, and I just think sometimes it's just those, it doesn't have to be anything big and planned. Sometimes it's just a tiny little opportunity that just presents itself like that.
Yeah, and if you've had a kid fall away, if you have older children, I always think of St. Paul too, because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he was killing, actually, you know, reading threats of murder against the disciples
and, of the Lord.
Yeah, yes. And just, you know, how he has this tremendous conversion where he sees the risen Christ and his whole life is just changed. And so there's just always hope. There's always hope. I ask for St. Paul's intercession a lot, because he had a strong head and a strong mind. And very, you know, if you've got a kid like that, he's a good one.
I okay. also think of my younger children. I have a daughter. She loves animals. She loves animals. Mm-hmm. So I think, how can I incorporate? Well, St. Francis of Assisi, mm-hmm. who loved the animals. Mm-hmm. And then we took our dog to the blessing of the animals mm-hmm. at our church. Yeah. She's mm-hmm. barking. It was crazy. But, you know, my daughter, you know, got some love and understanding. So mm-hmm. she, in fact, we were asking, what did they want their saints' names to be for confirmation? And that was one she was interested in. And you have a boy who loves athletics. And there's St. Sebastian, who you mm-hmm. mentioned mm-hmm. as a patron saint of athletes. And so those are some other ways that you can incorporate the lives of saints into your life. Saints fully human, fully alive. That is the our theme this year for Pro Sanctity. Mm-hmm. And we really want saints, they didn't start off being saints. None of us are saints. And but they have a lot to teach us, and they can really be a part of our lives. Also, we wanted to talk about ways that we can celebrate. How can we make feast days, or and what can we do on holidays to make our homes more holy, and to help our families celebrate, not so much in the way the world celebrates, but to bring Jesus more to the center of our celebrations. Is there someone who would like to share a particular time or a particular date? Or I'll start off just like I told you guys earlier. My parish priest, I'm sure he won't mind me sharing this, is Father Boozy at St. Leo, and he is the pastor there at our church, a wonderful man. And someone was telling me that when he had a cook who on holy days and on feast days, she would make a great big breakfast. Instead of having, you know, just oatmeal or cereal for breakfast, she would make pancakes and sausage and, you know, hash browns, and just have this wonderful breakfast. And that is a very simple way to take a day that you're running around and you have your everyday busyness and making it a feast day, so that when you wake up, your children and your family, they say, whoa, we're having a breakfast, a different kind of breakfast. This is something special about this day. And so that is one way I think that you can find a way to do something simple to celebrate a holy day. Does anyone else have an idea?
Well, I attach food to everything. My kids like to eat, and so I do the same thing, and it just, instead of it just being another day, I just, like, for an example, on All Souls Day is November 1st. It's my son Joshua's birthday, and I got this idea from my mother that the donut represents eternity because it's circular and there's no beginning and no end. And so now we just always have donuts on All Souls Day. And so all my kids, and it's a treat for him because it's his birthday, and all my other kids get excited. Are we going to get donuts? Don't forget we have to get donuts. And like on the Feast of the Holy Angels, which is October 2nd, or St. Michael's Feast Day on September 29th, I just bake an angel food cake.
Oh.
That day, and we just say, oh, it's the angels, we're gonna have angel food cake. And so if I just attach a little bit of food, and we'll go to Mass, and then we'll have that later after supper, and it's nothing big, it's just something that I can incorporate into my hectic busy life, because I can always stop and pick up an angel food cake or a box of donuts.
Oh, sure.
On the way home.
Right, and you don't have to spend a lot of money doing it and spend a lot of time planning for it. It's just something that you can pick up and do. Is anyone else, even a holiday, something that you may do that's different on a holiday than other days?
I think it's something as simple as lighting a candle.
Yes.
I light candles in the kitchen on a feast day, and I might put a little picture of that saint, or I don't do it every time, but when there's a candle going, the kids are like, oh, why is there a candle burning, you know?
Oh, sure.
And on birthdays, we always do affirmations, and we all of our boys are named after saints, and we probably should do it on the saint feast day also. That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
But on their birthday, after dinner, we always go around and each person in the family affirms that person. They sit quiet and we each say something we love about them, and we go into detail with specific examples, and they just know once a year they're going to be affirmed and validated. Oh. And encouraged. And they kind of act like they don't like it now, but I know they like it. Are we going to do affirmations, Mom?
Yes.
Oh, the affirmations. I love affirmations.
Oh, I can second that. Sharon has spread that beautiful tradition to our home because our kids experienced it at their house. And so we've started to do that at our home as well. And our children love affirmations. It goes on and on and on. It can go on for a long, long time. And sometimes there's tears, and sometimes there's beautiful things said that maybe we don't say on a regular day, but on the day of their birth, that's a real beautiful way of affirming their place in the family and their role and their uniqueness and their just, you know, what makes them special.
So is that something that so it happens on their birthday, mm-hmm. and then the other children talk about that child and mm-hmm. the appearance?
Mm-hmm. We just take turns going around. We do it at the dinner table before we have birthday cake usually.
Oh.
We'll just, during the dinner or after the dinner, we'll say, okay, now is the time. And sometimes we're not home. Sometimes we'll be in a restaurant if we're celebrating away from home, or if we're on vacation and we're away from home. We do it wherever we are.
Oh.
And so that's I would second that Sharon, what they do in their home is beautiful. And
you know, in a big family, you don't always get affirmed.
No.
And if you have a lot of boys,
fighting.
I know I have five boys and Martha has six, and we're neighbors. So Doran and Crane boys are back and forth. Boys are not always affirming to one another.
Right.
You know,
it's
boys
not part
like
of their
they're
nature.
Very physical.
No, they're very physical. They can be sarcastic and witty, and you know, it's just that one day you're going to be affirmed, and they take it seriously.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And even as a parent, sometimes I'm just now listening, thinking, wow. I mean, that's so powerful, because even you just get busy, and you know, it's like how have I affirmed my own children, and you know, validated them or stopped to tell them what I appreciate? Sometimes that just gets neglected because mm-hmm. you're correcting or redirecting mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. just trying to get done what needs to get done in that day. And then so
it's always a contest in our house who can make Mom cry.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
We have to get the Kleenex box out every time.
Oh.
But they start affirming me as a mother of all boys. I live with six men. You don't get that many affirmations.
No.
Isn't it? And like Martha said, when tears start flowing, mm-hmm.
especially with boys. That's mm-hmm. beautiful. That's so beautiful. Human. That's who we are in Christ.
Well, mm-hmm. and it occurs to me that that's a great way of getting every child involved mm-hmm. in, because a lot of times as a mom, we have these great plans for these things we want to do. This allows everybody to have a part, and especially if they know ahead of time, they can be in their mind, you know, thinking about what mm-hmm. they're going to say, you know, about that person once the time comes around. And so it also gets everybody motivated to be involved in those celebrations. That gives me an idea. I know something in my home that we have done. And when I say this, these ideas didn't come to me myself. I would go to somebody else's house and see it, you know, mm-hmm. and would give me the idea to do it. And one of the things I have when you walk in my front door, there's a plaque. It was actually given to me for my wedding. It says, "Love one another," you know, the greatest mm-hmm. commandment, love one another as I've loved you. And so, you know, I know we ask our children, what's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? It's best, you know, when they're fighting or something, you can ask that mm-hmm. question. And that's a way, you know, we want to just keep bringing it back to Jesus. It's not that we just want to be good or this is just a nice thing to do, but I always think we want to mm-hmm. bring it all back to the Lord. We have to call upon the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like you talked about your daughter who was struggling with a decision that she wanted to make, and just calling upon the Lord and asking for the intercession of saints. So we remember to do those kinds of things, not just for our friends, but also for our children, to really share our faith. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we have great faith sharing in our Bible studies and with our girlfriends who are in Bible study with us, but do we bring it home? Are we like that with our husbands? Do we bring it in with our children, especially somebody new, just beginning, starting off? It can be a bit awkward. So,
because Lisa, too, like I always think of relationship first, because yes. a bunch of rules with no relationship.
It's so nothing.
First teaching our kids to just love Jesus, just how much he loves them and how yes. much, you know, first relationship. Hmm. Because if you were dating a guy, if we were still single and dating and the guy came over and said, "Now I want you to do this. I want you to look nice always. I want you to be on time when I pick you up. I don't want you looking at any other," you'd say, would there be a second date? You'd say, forget it, buddy. Right. I mean, but first you grow in relationship. You grow yes. to know and love. And then it's a joy to follow the rules because you're so much happier. It makes your life so much better. And so just teaching kids first about a relationship with Jesus.
Yes. Bringing it all back to the Lord. And I'm going to stop our conversation now. I thank you all for sharing so much, some ideas and things that people can use in their own homes to bring the domestic church home and to bring saints and the lives of the saints into their lives and into their journey. And I thank you so much for sharing with us today. I'm going to close off with some information about ProSanctity. I know if you go to our website and www.prosanctity.org, you'll find out more information about the ProSanctity movement, also on the apostolate, including information on exploring a vocation as an oblate in any of our upcoming activities. There's going to be, particularly I want you to be aware of the fact that we're having a Pampered Chef event for Pro Sanctity, where we're trying to handle some of the needs from the barn fires. So you'll find more information about that on our website. And there's a whole list of things that the Oblates need, and that Leela, our wonderful Leela, who helps so much with the Camp Fun and Faith and the kitchen. And so the list is there of all the things that are needed, as well as how you can help out with the barn fire. And finally, I'm going to close now with a prayer. And this prayer is an excerpt from the Pro Sanctity prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, divine master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue, and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother, and our mother. Amen. And thank you so much, ladies, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the ProSanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The ProSanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.